After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, round the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
This is a chapter unlike any other chapter in the Bible, I think. Let's pray for God's help that we understand what John saw and understand what we should do. Let's pray. Please, Lord God in heaven, may we here in this hall hear your voice, recognize your glory, and respond in worship. Amen. Have you ever visited a beautiful house and wanted to see behind a closed door? Maybe you visited a palace or a castle. Has anybody been to this place and knows where it is? Guessing? No one? It's not very far away. Wimpole Hall, not the Miser Stedman house. Wimpole Hall, that's where that is. And you can go through lots of bits of the house, but there are some doors that you can't go in. Private. No entry is what they say. And if you're like me, have you ever gone up to one of those doors and tried it to see if it would open? I have, and they're always locked. It's very disappointing. Well, Revelation chapter 4 is a very special chapter in the Bible because it shows everyone who reads it what is behind the biggest and most important closed door in the universe. Read verse 1 with me, with your mums and dads. Look at verse 1. Let's read those words. "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven." That is where God is. So what John is given, as he's allowed to write down afterwards, is a glimpse of what is going on in heaven. John doesn't just see an open door, he hears an inviting voice. Did you see that? And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." After what? Well, after the first three chapters of Revelation, remember so far we've had seven letters written to the seven churches by Jesus, so that the churches who were struggling, who were being persecuted, people in them were finding life really hard. And in each of the letters, Jesus says, keep going. Keep going. Now John gets a special and amazing glimpse of something that is normally hidden behind closed doors. Thank you, Fiona. So what does he see? What does John see? Now, before I answer, you need to know that what he is given is mostly symbols and songs. What is it mostly? Symbols and songs. Lots of symbols in this chapter and two songs. Revelation is full of symbols and songs. And a great question to ask, what do the symbols point to and what do the songs say? That's what we're doing this morning. Everyone understands symbols. Maths is full of symbols. I bet everybody in this room could tell me what these symbols are. Kezia. Plus, okay, and the other ones? Minus. Times, and what's the last one? Theo. Divide by. So those are symbols, you know what they mean, okay? There are other types of symbols in business. Who knows what these mean? They all begin with one letter. Who can tell me what letter they all begin with? M, Mercedes, Microsoft, and the Scottish restaurant. Our roads have got signs on them which mean things. Who knows what these signs mean? Traffic lights, bicycles, and roundabouts. So when you see a sign on a road in a triangle, do you know what that means? Warning. This chapter should come with a triangle around it, I think. Lots of amazing signs. So you understand symbols and signs, all right? You don't have to have lots of words if you can see the symbol clearly. Well, let's read verses 2 to 6. And if you can hear what the symbols John sees are, see if you can, but remember these are symbols behind the open door of heaven. There are symbols that God wants us to see, and he wants them to have an effect on us. So look closely now, verses 2 to 6. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A throne means a seat for a king or queen. And in this one, clearly it's in heaven. Who's sitting on the throne? God is. No wonder he then says the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. Do you know what jasper and ruby are? They are precious stones. Now, there are quite a lot of precious stones in this room right now. I'd like you to look around, and someone near you might have a precious stone they could show you. Have a look and see what you can see right now. Anybody got a precious stone they could show? Mum's got one there. You've got to look quite close because they're quite small. Hands up, who can see a diamond? Some diamonds? Can anyone see sapphires? Rubies? We've got a ruby right there. Okay, quiet now. Let's have a picture of some rings. How big were those stones that you could see on the rings of the people you were looking at. How big were they? Tiny. Imagine seeing a person sitting on a throne and you were seeing someone, a whole person, as brilliant and as beautiful and as precious as one of those tiny little stones you've just seen. And then look, verse 3, what did they see? What's next? You have to look down and read it. What's the next thing in verse 3 that he could see? Anyone put a hand up who's read it? Daniel? A rainbow that shone like an emerald that encircled the throne. Okay, you've all seen a rainbow, haven't you? Anyone seen a rainbow recently? You have not seen a rainbow. Yes, you have. But you haven't seen one like this. The rainbows we see are only half, aren't they? Imagine being able to see a rainbow that goes the whole way round the throne. Shining like an emerald. Then what? Surrounding the throne, there were 24 other thrones. And on them were 24 other elders, dressed in white, with crowns on their heads, important people, perhaps rulers. We don't know who they are, but look what they do in verse 10. This is the important thing in verse 10. Have a read with your mums and dads. What do they do? The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever. And what do they do with their crowns? What do they do with their crowns? Yes. They put them down. They take their crowns off and they put them down before God. What are you good at? Hands up if you're good at sports or maths or art or making friends. Some of you, come on, lots more. Lots of you are good at that. All right. What's the best thing you've ever written? Is it a poem? Is it maybe it's a short story? Or maybe you've made a painting or done a sculpture? Hands up if you've ever done one of those. Yes, you have. What is your most prized possession? Is it a toy? Maybe it's a car or a job? Or maybe it's a title that you've got. Well, the symbolism of laying your crown down before God is what is going on here. These elders are laying down before God the thing that defines them, their crowns. They are saying, who I am and everything I've done is all for you. I wonder what kind of sight that must have been. Behind the open door of heaven, John is getting to see God in all his majesty and glory, and what's going on around him is worship. Have you laid your crown down before the King of heaven? Have you recognized him as your king? Worship is what people do when they know God. They bow down before him. They lay down their crowns. They show by what they do and what they say that they see God is the one who is great. He's the one in charge. He's the one who is good. He's the one they can trust. What next? Verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. Have you all seen a lightning flash and heard what goes with it? Has anyone been close enough to count less than 3 seconds between the lightning and the sound? How loud was it? Really loud. I thought about getting a recording of some really loud thunder and playing it now. But we don't have the technical ability. So what I'd like you to do is listen to me. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Just start tapping your feet on the floor very gently. Okay, stop. As I raise my hand, I want you to tap your feet harder and harder and harder. And when I do that, I want you all to clap 3 times really loudly. Okay, let's try it. Okay, start gently. Bigger. 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 Okay, that's not as big as a good bit of lightning and thunder is, but it was as close as we could get. John saw behind this open door a throne in heaven, and he saw these 24 elders, and he heard thunder and lightning. And then in front of the throne, seven lamps were burning. We're not told what they are. Oh, yes, we are. We are told they are the seven spirits of God. Seven in the Bible, especially in Revelation, is the perfect number. So seven spirits could be the perfect, the Spirit of God. And also verse 6, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Have you seen a perfectly flat bit of water ever? Maybe you saw one in Keswick this summer, reflecting a perfectly blue sky. Well, that's what this glassy sea looked like. Both the lamps and the sea of glass, they're symbols that would have reminded John of the temple of God. In that temple was a lampstand like this, and in front of it was a huge basin filled with water for washing before a sacrifice. Now, my pictures and our sounds are hopelessly small compared to what John must have seen. But the words we have read are meant to fill us with a vision of something very, very great. Well, if the thrones and the elders and the crowns and the thunder and the lightning and the lamp and the glassy sea aren't enough, John then sees something else. What does he see next? He sees four living creatures. Now, I'm not going to try and draw them. And actually, I don't think we're meant to try and draw them. But we're meant to get a feeling about what they mean. Listen to these words, verses 6 to 8, and especially think about eyes and wings. Okay? Listen to verse 6 to 8. In the center, round the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings. Six. And was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." What do we do with our eyes? We see. And how many eyes do we normally need? Two. These creatures had eyes all over them. And any animals that can fly, how many wings do they have? Normally, two. Apart from a few insects that have four. And with their wings, they can go anywhere. So these creatures can see everything and they can go anywhere. I think that's what we're meant to be thinking when we read about them. And day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Now, if God is holy, and we aren't, I know I'm not, and I'm sure you're not, we human beings are silly and selfish and sinful. And that means we have a problem. The problem we have is the one that Jesus came to fix. How can a holy God be friends with sinful human beings? Only by his kindness to us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. What we need is to come to him admitting he alone is holy, holy, holy. And we just aren't. Have you done that? Have you admitted God is God and you're not? It's wonderful to hear about Phoebe doing that just 2 weeks ago. I've only got a little more to say, but before I say it, we're going to sing a song. So could we have the musicians up? It's called Blessing and Honor Be Unto the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is not a phrase we use, but it is a name for God in the Bible. It's used in Daniel 7. What the song calls us to do is give praise and glory and honor to God. That's what the living creatures are doing right now. That's what they're doing. They're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So let's join in with what they're saying in heaven. Your voices will be joining in with what the heavenly creatures are saying in heaven right now as you sing this song. Perhaps admit to God how sinful you are and how much you need his rescue. Let's stand and sing Blessing and Honor. Do please sit down. Last two or three verses of this amazing chapter. Remember, we're seeing behind the door of heaven. An amazing glimpse behind what's normally closed to us. John has seen God sitting on his throne. What should he do? What should we do? Well, he should, and we should, follow the example of the elders and the living creatures. They are worshiping God. And if they, in all their splendor and majesty and power, are worshiping God, how much more should we, ordinary, sinful human beings, worship God? What might it look like to worship God? Well, look at verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever, the elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." They worship and praise God. What we've seen are loads of symbols and two songs. The first was "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," and this is the second. "You are worthy." Is that a song that you sing with your words and by your life every day? What do I mean? Well, we can say these words out loud in a moment, but what will it be like to live these words out? How will you give time to give God his worth, to worship him? Well, we can do it as we sing together. It's great to sing that song just now. We'll sing another one in a minute. We are worshiping God when we sing with all our hearts. Why not try at home? "Mum, Dad, I know you can't sing very well, but I really like that hymn. Can we sing one at supper tonight?" I dare you to ask them. We can pray. That is, we can give him praise and thanks. We can let him hear our repentance, what you're sorry for. We can adore him and ask him for things. I think I've got that slightly wrong. It should be ask, shouldn't it, eh? Or you can adore him. And then you can ask for things for yourself. So singing and praying and giving time to those things is a great thing to be doing. We can listen to his voice. Will you make it a deeply ingrained, unbreakable habit that you listen to God's voice every day? Will you try and do that? Will you open your Bibles and hear what God has to say to you? Or will you watch Facebook and YouTube videos more? Please show that God is worthy by the way you use your time. Listen to him. And when we gather in church, if God is worthy, and he is, then you will fight not to wriggle and squirm, but to listen and learn. That is to give God what he is worth. That is to worship him. And by your life, whether it's at home or at school or at work or with friends or with family, in sport or in play, will you live to please the one who is enthroned in heaven, who is glorious? Let's say these words together. Say them if you mean them. And then I'll pray. Together. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Well, if you believe God is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise from you, how will you show that this week? Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you for opening the door of heaven and giving John this glimpse of what is going on there. Praise and honor being given to you by all living creatures. May we recognize that you are worthy of that praise and worship and give it to you in our own lives. Thrill us with this view of what will take place as we look at the book of Revelation, and encourage us to live to please you. And we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a final song soon, but if you've got any questions, I'll have a go at answering them. Or if you've got something that struck you, what was the best image, the best symbol of the things you've just seen? Was it the eyes or the wings? Was it the thunder or the lightning? What was it? Fiona's got one.
Thank you for today. I was thinking about your symbol of like Jesus and the crown, and then the people like us taking off our crowns. But I often pray to be like Jesus. But actually, I'm thinking, well, no, we're not going to be like Jesus because we're not that royalty. So actually, okay. I'm questioning.
All right, but the two can both be going together. Yeah. On the throne is God the Father. That is who we are seeing, I think. We are recognizing God in his threeness because there's the Spirit there. And we trust the Word of God is going out as well. So we're recognizing God is in heaven. And every living creature is taking off their crown and bowing down to God. Now, Jesus is God, and when people came to him and fell at his feet, he didn't say, get up, I'm not God. He accepted that worship. We should do that. But by his example and the way he lived, in his compassion, in his kindness, in his gentleness, in his care for the world, we should emulate that. We'll never be Jesus, but we can emulate the way he lived. Brilliant observation. Thank you. Anyone else? Ezra's got one over there. Thank you, Levi. Good job.
When the animal covered with arms, why does it say they day and night, they never stop saying? Why do they keep on repeating it and repeating it?
Why does it say day and night they kept saying, holy, holy, holy? Why didn't they get a rest and have some sleep and be able to stop saying it? Ezra? I don't know. But here's a guess. Rest is something we need now. And we have a day a week when we rest from work. Rest will be what we are experiencing with God in heaven. By being with him, we'll be perfectly resting. So maybe we won't need sleep and we'll just get to worship him day and night. I don't know if that's the right answer. That's a guess. Good question. Anyone else? Caroline MS.
I've got a slightly different potential answer.
Go for it. Help us out, Caroline.
So you know, if you fall in love with someone, you keep saying, I love you. Don't just say it once and then you leave it. Or like if you get something really cool for Christmas that you really love, you keep going, Mum, I really love, look how awesome it is. You don't just say it once. But God is so amazing that in order to even start expressing how holy he is, they have to say it all the time, constantly. But I think we sleep in heaven, Tim, but I might be wrong theologically.
You won't need it. You won't need it.
I am looking forward to it, so all don't right. Take it away from
the
me.
The other thing I want to say about what those creatures were saying, there's only one place in the Bible that God is called the same thing three times. He's called holy, holy, holy three times. He isn't called loving, loving, loving. He isn't called compassionate, compassionate, compassionate. But he is called holy, holy, holy. So perhaps this characteristic of God is the one we are most meant to realize. He is perfect, utterly holy, unlike us sinful human beings. Great. Thank you, Caroline. Helpful addition. All right, let me stop, hand back to Ed, and we'll sing our last song with some notices after that. Lovely to be looking at Revelation chapter 4.